Hey guys, it's Rosie here. Just thought I'd pop on just to talk to you a little bit more about our 2 to 4 week lockdown programs. So it's great for a back to netballer or an elite netballer who's just looking for a bit more of a focus with their training over the next 4 weeks, because I know it can be difficult. The programs are going to be based around our circular fitness concept. So a training method that we use just to make sure that we're hitting all aspects of fitness, which is important for up and coming netballers, elite netballers and back to netballers, whatever level. So this concept includes mental well-being, endurance, speed, agility and power, skill, mobility, nutrition, recovery and sleep. So our 2 to 4 week programs will include all of these different aspects in some capacity. So for example, on a Monday, you might do an endurance session. A Wednesday, it might be more skills and netball specific work. A Thursday might be more strength and power. We actually originally designed these programs for gym access athletes. However, in light of the recent lockdown Bojo announcement, that can no longer happen. So we've redesigned our programs a little bit so that they can be done at home with no equipment, or if you've got some equipment, we can adapt your program as well. So yeah, if you want to get in touch, feel free just to drop us a direct message, or yeah, send us a request on our website or on Facebook, and we'll try and get back to you and find a program that suits you the best. So yeah, thanks guys for listening, and we'll be in touch soon.
Hi Tandy, welcome to the...
Sorry, one last thing I forgot to mention was that all of our programmes can be available and accessible via an app that has video demonstrations for each drill and exercise. So I'm sure Lucy and Molly will be very annoyed that I didn't mention that earlier, because it took a long time to film it all in the previous lockdown. So yeah, drop us a line if you've got any questions, and if you haven't read any of our blogs yet and you want to get to know us a little bit better, go on netufitness.com and take a look.
Absolute nerve. Netufitness.com. Right. Can we get started now?
Just wanted to extend a huge thank you from everybody at England Netball for your ongoing support and really throwing a spotlight on our brilliant game.
You've always been a huge supporter of netball in Northern Ireland, and definitely our players across the franchises as well.
You've really helped take our sport to new audiences.
Thank you for your continued support, and thanks to everyone out there in social media land who is keeping netball alive, and just keep doing what you're doing, because we need you now more than ever.
Hi Tandy, welcome to the Netball Show with Mizuno, another ACL special, I suppose, as we're going to hear from Ellie Gibbons and also Kieran McMahon from Seven Stars. And I began by asking Ellie how she spends a typical week.
Pre-injury, I would be training twice a week, so Tuesday night and a Thursday night on Gloucester and Worcester. And then obviously if there was a game at the weekend, we would be travelling to wherever that would be. There was a training session on a Wednesday, but because I was coming from Essex, I had like a 7-hour round trip, so I didn't make it to that one, but I trained separately for that. But yeah, that was what a typical week would look like. And then obviously our own training and shooting every year as well, as a Mongol attack, so yeah.
And from being active almost every day of the week to nothing, how did you deal with that?
Yeah, so I think when I first got injured in January, I still actually went to all the training sessions and just done what I could kind of rehab-wise and preparing myself for surgery. But then when it actually happened, that kind of coincided with literally a few days later, we all went into lockdown. So I was then obviously confined at home as well, not even being able to go to hospital for checkups and stuff like that. So it was pretty hard, but luckily at home I had a little gym, so I was pretty much doing like core workouts, I reckon about a week later. So I was just trying to do as much as I could, keep myself sane. But yeah, it was pretty tough, I will admit that.
Kieran, from your point, you'd be there instantly. What was that like for you?
It was a bit of a horrible time, you know, despite that being my trade, to look after people's injuries, is you never want to see people injured. And just the level of discomfort and, I think, shock, it was obviously unsettling, but you do your part to calm down and to sort of try and manage the situation as best as possible. I think one of the things that struck me as well was the impact it had on the rest of the team, particularly those who have gone through similar injuries in the past. You know, it can bring back quite a few memories, and you know, you're having to sort of, you know, take care for a few people in that situation, making sure that the primary person is being dealt with appropriately. So thankfully, we were able to calm things down enough to get Ellie to hospital. And then later on, further assessment, we were able to confirm that that's what the injury was.
Kieran did piggyback me into hospital as well.
We were struggling for places to park, so it was either a finals lift or piggyback. We chose piggyback.
When we heard from Nick and Charlie last year, it was maybe about taking a week or so just to make the decision. How soon did you have yours?
So I got injured like the end of January, and then I had my operation mid-March. So quite a quick turnaround, but for me, I actually went to quite a few surgeons. I basically wanted to get in as quickly as I could, and that was how quick I could get in, I think. I think at the time where COVID was kind of looming upon us, I was actually really lucky to even get my operation, because literally the week later the hospital was shut to any elective surgeries. So yeah, I consider myself actually very lucky, because there are people that are still injured and haven't been able to get their surgeries and stuff like that, so I do feel grateful in that sense.
Yeah, there was a lot of calling, a lot of communicating with various people at the time, although it seemed like it was, you know, with relative confidence that that was that injury. Ellie's actually presented with quite a stable knee. There was just obviously a lot of swelling and discomfort at the time. So it was decided that the MRI was the safest and most appropriate route to go down. And then it was a case of who can we contact to speed up this level of recovery. And there was quite a few people to thank, including James Noak down in London and Essex, who managed to pull some strings and put us in contact with the right people to get Ellie seen as soon as possible.
And you'll see all sides of the rehab, won't you? I mean, the days when things work, the frustration in her when she just wants to be back. So being part of that support team is vital.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, COVID's certainly thrown challenges across many walks of life, which sounds quite profound, but it was quite a challenge to deal with a long-term rehabilitation injury like an ACL reconstruction through the medium of voice chats, video chats, face-to-face contact, and also rehab equipment was very, very limited. I think we're very fortunate that Ellie did have access to that at home for a couple of different avenues, and without that, I do think we'd probably still be teetering around the sort of early mid stages of rehab. You know, we had some fun and interesting video chats. We've had some times where it's been very frustrating because, you know, we're not hitting the goals that we were expecting to hit at a certain point. But Ellie's been one of the most dedicated people I've ever worked with in terms of the rehab process, constantly asking questions, constantly researching, constantly wanting to push the boundaries and get back to netball as soon as possible. And that's probably why she's in such a good position as she is right now.
And you'll see, Ellie, that there'll be days and weeks even where this has really, really sucked, for want of a better phrase.
It definitely has sucked at times, yeah, I will agree. But I think you just have to kind of remind yourself that you're not the only person that's ever been through this. And as much as it's like your own journey, you know, having people around you that have been through it, like teammates, and via social media, I've come across lots of people that have kind of reached out who've been through it themselves, and you just kind of have to think, right, well, this has happened to me. I've got the best possible help that I can have, and I've just been really grateful for that. And I think hopefully, in a way, I've timed it pretty well, because I've not really missed anything. So everyone that's come and said to me, you've got the best timed ACL injury that there's ever been, because hopefully I'll be, you know, aiming to be back for January time. So yeah, I think we've just got to look at the positives. It has sucked, but that's not going to help me in the process, so I just kind of have to park those feelings and just try and keep positive, I think, would be my outlook.
Ellie mentioned there about sort of people reaching out and getting contact. You know, social media can get some criticism on various different avenues, but particularly, I've not seen it as much with many of the traumatic injuries or sports injuries, but ACL injuries tend to bring together a lot of people on different platforms, whether it's Twitter or Instagram. And, you know, Ellie's set up her page, which is really useful as part of her rehab journey. A lot of my other patients that I see outside of Seven Stars at my clinic still look at her for inspiration, you know, look for that motivation. They've started recording and setting things themselves. And having that platform and that support network, I think, has really got Ellie through at certain times where there's only so much that I as a physio or as a mate can say.
I was going to mention that. Have you had any particular nice comments that got
you? Yeah, so I've started it as kind of just to keep myself accountable, really. And I didn't want to bore like everyone on my normal page, I guess, with like my knee. So I started a little page, and it has grown really, and it's so nice for me. Like, I'm obviously, it's not nice to see other people go through injuries, but you know, I've had parents that have contacted me saying, "Oh, they're like children who are so young that are going through the same thing, which must be awful." But they're kind of inspired by it. But for like myself, like I've woken up to messages from people like Kelsey Brown, Paige Hadley. And for me, like, I completely fangirl people like that. So
when she's going into treatment session, she's like, "Oh my God, look, it's messaged me."
I just completely, like, things like that will then really inspire me to go and train. And especially, like, they've been through it and I follow their really closely. So I guess it works both ways. It's just nice that others can be inspired and so I can be inspired by others as well.
If it's good enough for players and having their own dog accounts, then it's good enough for players' knees.
I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm fully recovered. I'm just
going to have to Kieran, during this time as well, advances in research won't have stopped. So have you been able to take advantage of that in this time?
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming quite a prominent research topic. You know, you only have to look at in netball, you know, it's quite a predominant injury that the players sadly tend to encounter, but it's, you know, it's not confined to just netball. You know, rugby, football, you know, you look at AFL and even the NFL, you know, the injury incidence rate is creeping up for various reasons. We've got some fair ideas, and I know because some of the other podcasts that we've listened to before have touched upon that. But with, you know, emerging technologies, you know, the change in boots, the change in playing surfaces, these are all things that need to be investigated and researched as well. But there are a lot of growing technologies out there that help with different parts of the rehab process. Some of them we weren't able to use in this particular context because of COVID. And then they'd actually surpassed the stage that we would normally rely on that bit of equipment because she was doing so well. So it will continue to be researched for as long as the rate of ACL injuries increases. And sadly, at this stage, I can see it, you know, continuing in that trend.
You don't just work with Stars, do you? You've also got your own clinic. Tell me a bit about the development of that.
Yeah, that was born out of unemployment, mainly. It was an idea that I had for a couple of years when I left Leeds. When we went into lockdown, I was sort of in between leaving one job, starting a new job, and the new job didn't materialise in the end. So it's a case of, right, where do we go from here? So I thought, if not now, then when? So it's obviously started initially, you know, with a lot of online consultations, which I found really interesting in the manner of how to do an assessment. Obviously, you can't be there to do your hands-on clinical examination techniques, so to be able to get people to perform them on themselves or to get family and friends involved was quite an interesting sort of process from a development point of view, but I found it quite enjoyable. And then it's sort of grown and grown once we've been allowed to come back into the clinic environment. I've been able to secure a really great facility through Mike Grice, who runs Movement Therapy Clinics. So the equipment we have here, the assessment equipment, the rehab equipment, is of the highest calibre you possibly can within the space that we have. And I think we've been really fortunate that, you know, before gyms were able to open, we had access to this. And again, things have just fallen into place for us to try and limit the rate of delay that COVID's had on Ellie's recovery. And, you know, thankful to Mike for allowing us in here. That's enabled us to get Ellie and a lot of the rest of my other patients to where they are now.
How's she doing as a client?
No. I bring him snacks all the time.
I'll just add the snacks a bit of recent.
Yeah, no.
She's been good as gold. And, you know, it's easy to say because she sat socially distanced next to me, but I've really enjoyed working with her throughout this process. It has been challenging for many reasons, but we've got through it. And I think one of the nicest things I've probably had in a long time as a physio was just a recognition of Ellie when she turned around and said, "Oh yeah, back when I was injured." you know, the fact that we've gone through so much together in terms of trying to support and help her to realise where she is now versus where she was. For her to just almost dismiss the injury and treat it as a past tense thing that she was injured meant quite a lot. So at the moment, we're just dotting I's and crossing T's, trying to get a bit of conditioning into her, get a bit of the final sort of techniques around power development and also the ability to control that movement, to decelerate and then spring off again. We're getting very, very, very close to having Ellie back at probably better than she was before from a strength and conditioning point of view. I think that's something I've always tried to do, regardless of what role I'm in, is try and leave the person better than you found them. And I think now Ellie's now far more attuned to why we would do certain things from a strength and conditioning point of view, why we would look at, you know, A, B and C. And I'm really excited to see what happens at the turn of the year when we can hopefully safely say that she's back playing.
Yeah, look, I'm just super excited to even just get back on court. And yeah, as I say, very well timed for the season. But I think, you know, we've still got some boxes to tick before we even think about that. So yeah, just trying to not get too ahead of myself, because Kieran often has to bring me back in when I just want to go like, running around.
But that's good. That's keen.
Yeah, I'm keen.
There's been a few times where I've seen things on Instagram where I have to go, really? I don't think I said this, but it's all been built safely, and yeah, it's we're getting very, very close.
And really, just to finish, I suppose a little bit of advice in the fact that maybe speak to others about it and you can go through it together.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, as we said earlier, the social media, for all that, you know, can come of it, it has been a really positive thing for me. Not only to like document it myself, like sometimes I'll just look back and be like, wow, like I actually couldn't bend my leg or straighten my leg and now look what I'm doing. Just as a little reminder, and also, yeah, you can reach out to people. That being said, I think it's important to not compare yourself to others, because, you know, the human body is very different and we're all trying to get back to different levels of sport and different sports entirely. But on the whole, I think it's, yeah, a really positive thing to definitely speak to others. And also, like your physios, those people that are there, sometimes I was guilty of Googling stuff and thinking that my leg was about to fall off. But actually, you just have to trust who you're working with and know that you are in very good hands, or I have been anyway.
I think just adding on that as well, you know, we mentioned about the research and stuff. There's a lot of research that's out there that looks at recommending, you know, different surgical techniques, different methods of rehab, different lengths of time for recovery, when safe to return, you know, the risk of other things happening once you return. And it's, you know, it's really important that you engage with that body of evidence, but also learn to be able to take a step back and make sure it applies to the person in front of you. And I think together we've both been able to do that and come up with a suitable rehab plan where both parties are happy with what's lying ahead and obviously now where we are.
Ellie, do you just want to mention where your Insta is for your knee?
Yeah, I think off the top of my head, I should know. I think it's at Ellie's Kneehab. So, yeah, if you are interested in the human knee or just like netball, sometimes my dog makes an appearance on there as well. So, yeah, you can follow me there.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us. It's been good, but I have to get to training now, so...
Yeah, I've added another 30 minutes onto the session.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's a really important topic, this, especially in netball. So if you've got your own story to share, do send us a DM. We're at The Netball Show on Twitter. Thanks as always for your support.
Just wanted to extend a huge thank you from everybody at England Netball for your ongoing support and really throwing a spotlight on our brilliant game.
You've always been a huge supporter of netball in Northern Ireland and definitely our players across the franchises as well.
You've really helped take our sport to new audiences.
Thanks to you for your continued support, and thanks to everyone out there in social media land who is keeping netball alive, and just keep doing what you're doing because we need you now more than ever.